sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 144, Le Verbe Ert. Alright, today I'm going to bless you with two poetry. Actually, extract of poetry, of poems. Alright? First one goes like this. The chosen one from the land of the frozen sun. When drunk nights get remembered, more than sober ones. God damn, Common. Walk like warriors. We were never told to run. Explored the world to return to where the soul begun. Never looking back too far in front of me. Are you ready? The present is a gift, and I just want to be.
Message!
Okay, second one off the same album. Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's from his last track. It goes, be here, be there, be that, be this. Be grateful for life. Be grateful to life. Be gleeful every day for being the best swimmer among 500,000. Jesus Christ, there's no way I am doing this without... Yo, man. Before I continue, to the rapper Common, I mean, to all the rappers, all the rappers and poets who've created art that touched my soul, that I felt it in my soul, I give you a, y'all deserve a... All right, okay, let's do this. Okay, welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up. Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, and aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to welcome you, new listeners, especially those of you who have happened to click on this podcast by mistake. But just to give you fair warning, this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who stand out and grew up watching during the 80s, TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is January 31st, 2024. Black History Month Eve, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One last thing. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you happen to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Whoa, starting off strong. Because that's how I do. You know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. I think I might switch my motto, or I'll keep both. Be kind to your favorite podcast, and because it's my goddamn podcast, I'm affirming. There's a lot of growth in that statement. I'll explain it in another episode. All right, hey, yeah, okay, again, as always, returning listeners, welcome back. And for you new listeners, hey, what's up? What up? Okay. Especially if you got past that little intro I just did, little warning. Just to help you get situated on this podcast. Actually, let me put more emphasis there. Show notes are available on the website. Okay. Now, when you go to the show notes, you'll notice that there are three categories, actually four. But that's because I break down my episodes into three parts. My shows into three parts, all right? Or call them acts. You know, like when you're at a play. You've been to a play before, right? I've been to a play. Oh, whatever, right? So three acts. The first act is the introduction. The second act is use your random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts, okay? So when you go to the show notes, you'll notice that it corresponds to the breakdown or correspond to the section. I also leave the show notes as a way for you to follow along. Well, for two reasons. A, to follow along, and also at the same time, have the links to anything, some of the things that I covered during the episode, okay? The fourth section in the show notes is called Other Links, and in there, it's just things I found on the internet that came across my timeline, and I saved it, and instead of talking about it, I'm just sharing it for the sake of sharing it, okay? All right, because I'm a generous person like that. All right, so Now, in the introduction, I like to do shit like I've done. I've played the theme. You've heard the theme. Afterwards, I said the title of the episode, Le Verbe Être. For you anglophones, that language is French. Not you anglophones, for you unilingual people who are like, what the fuck was that jibber jabber? Yeah, it's a language different than the one that you speak, and it's called French. I'm not being condescending. I'm just I'm dissing English folks who believe that just being a unilingual English person makes you like supreme to the rest of the world. And don't get me wrong, I grew up with that notion, you know, I grew up with that notion and developed an inferiority complex over it. But that's a longer story. I'll talk about it in another episode. Right, what was I saying? Yeah, the introduction, the title, and then warning about the podcast you listen to, and yada, yada, yada. And another thing I like to do in the introduction is read out a quote. And today's quote, shout out to my therapist. She sent this to me. And I felt the need to share it with y'all, and it goes, trauma compromises our ability to engage with others by replacing patterns of connection with patterns of protection. Stephen Porges. Porges? P-O-R-G-E-S. Porges. French, I'd pronounce it Porges. And, I heard that quote, and my first thought was, man, fuck that nigga. Okay, you know, I forget, new people are probably listening to this, right? I'm an emotional person. Sometimes when I'm trying to express words, I'll use a violent vocabulary, but that's blame the fact that I listen to too much hip-hop. So I don't wish ill will to that person. What I am trying to express is how, yo, this quote kind of hurt my feelings. Now, I say this while being conscious. I am the kind of person who knows that if something annoys you, something or someone annoys you, it's less about them and more about you. Like, it's an opportunity for you to analyze what's that going on. So that's what you're hearing me do right now. I know at some point I will feel differently about this quote, or I'm likely to feel differently about this quote. He's hoping for growth. Okay, try to be positive. All right, okay, I'm likely going to feel differently about this quote, but right now, again, shout out to my therapist who sent me this. I know she meant well when she sent it, but right now in the current state I'm in, all I read was Stephen Porges calling me a little bitch-ass nigga who's too scared. But his trauma, like, I'm not someone surviving the Gaza Strip here. I've had it pretty well. I'm living in the developed country, two Christian parents, put a roof over my head, put a roof over my head, make sure I went to school, and all kinds of shit. And then I'm reading this shit and hearing that trauma compromises. How dare you? How dare you imply that I've gone through trauma? How dare you? And how dare you call me like a punk ass bitch? No, be black. That's not what he's saying. Yeah, okay, all right, okay. Kidding aside. The jokes was just to hide the fact that, yo, no, this shit is making me feel weird. Kidding aside, if you've been following this podcast, yes, I do acknowledge that there were things that I went through in my life. I experienced it as trauma. It didn't help that I was a sensitive child. See, this is difficult saying this, confessing this. I was a highly sensitive child. My parents had no manual instructions on how to raise the specific of raising a highly sensitive child. So doing shit like yelling is enough to be considered trauma. Now, some people are listening to that, so what you're saying is you were weak. I'm saying it is what it is. I am what I am. I was about to brag about, you know, my life. It's not brag, but it's, I'm trying to, the older version of me would be feeling shame at this moment at admitting that some of the things that black children go through, that most black children consider they survive, for me, affected me. And it's not meant to be a shame on my parents or this like that. It's this is where I'm at. This is my explanation to why I'm the person I am today. I know I'm feeling a little defensive. I'm feeling I think I've attacked myself hold on. Yeah, I feel like I'm attacking myself. No, you know what it is? It's the trauma I went through. There's a built-in mechanism in my head that like tries to anticipate what someone might say. Here's the thing, that someone will respond to what I'm saying. The problem is that mechanism only goes for the negative. So I could already imagine someone attacking me for talking about how, are you saying that being beaten as a child fucked you up? Then you must be some kind of special weakness. And the reality is, no, like everyone else, like every black child, yes, I overcame the challenges of a black child, but it came at a cost. That's why you go into therapy, boys and girls, to figure out what that cost was. Holy shit, I just realized I just answered my own question. Oh my God. Okay, so I'm realizing what Stephen Porges, by the way, I don't usually spend this much time on a quote, but this one hit me in the feels, had me thinking. And a lot of what I do on this podcast is just, you're going to hear me think out loud. So what I'm realizing Stephen Porges is saying, I'm fucking up his name. The trauma I went through that I managed to survive or convince the world that I made it through, that, you know, that I'm normal like everyone else. And the cost was my ability to engage with others. I won't lie. I fucking love solitude. You can't talk me out of solitude. I enjoy solitude. Any relationship, at this point, it's, yeah, I don't care how fine you are, how great your personality is. It's like, can you compete with solitude? Now, again, my therapist sent me this, so I didn't have time to question this. But now I'm in a situation where I find myself wondering, are you saying that I have a toxic relationship with solitude? Well, no, it's not what she's saying. It's it's more realizing, is it possible? It's not whether she's saying it, it's more me wondering, whether I have a toxic, okay, maybe not, but one thing I am having difficulty with is getting this podcast out there. This podcast is meant to be me being more vulnerable, me being more, this podcast is meant to send me on a journey into being my more authentic self. Doing that is one thing. Getting other people to hear me go through that journey, that's my challenge. Anyways, I'm just saying, yo, right now this thing is just giving me a lot to think about. It was a powerful one, and these are the good ones. And you know what? I'm going to, and I apologize for you corporate Negroes, because I'm about to use a term that's going to annoy the fuck out of you. I'm going to put a pin on it. Is it in it or on it? Put a pin on it and talk about it further in final thoughts. All right? Okay. So let's jump to using random thoughts and get the show going, okay? All right. Buckle up, boys and girls, because we's about to do this. We are about to do this. Okay. Hold on a second. my mouse was disabled. Wasn't working, so this is what I mean. Okay, all right, let's do this. Here we go. All right. I should get a touch screen. You know what I really need to do? Get some donation up in this bitch. So I could buy shit for myself. I mean, yeah, I can buy it for myself, but come on, man. Just show some love. All right, okay. All right, first item on the agenda. I put in, just give me 1 second. Hold on a second. Okay, it's kind of warm. I'm just going to turn down the heater. Oh, my God. Yeah, I have this bad habit of turning the heater too high. Well, if the little bit of cold I feel and I crank it too high and then I get too hot, then I put it back up. It's weird, man. It's a good thing I don't have roommates because I don't think we'd get along. Anyways, where was I? Yes. Okay, first item on the agenda. In the last episode, this is just for anyone who was paying attention or who was curious about it. Last episode, I talked about how I was doing some interview questions. Was submitting after the episode, after the recording my show, I had to work on this written interview. It's interesting, man. Modern technology. They send you the question and you got to answer it like an essay. And I won't lie, man, I was a little nervous about it, and I finally did it. And it's after I finished it, there's a part of me that I am not used on seeing, and there was a voice in my head that said, yo, this was your best foot forward, right? It's like, you know, you did your best, let the universe do the rest. But the thing is, I believed it. It calmed me down. Like, I was actually feeling good about the answers I put in. I like, yo, this was some dope ass shit. Like, I felt like what Big Daddy Kane says, when the pen hits the paper, ah, shit. Yeah, I felt like that, man. Like, so it was some dope ass answer. Now, whether it gets me in, fuck it. Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. But I felt like I put in my best foot forward, so that's my answer, right? I'll take it from there, you know? And there's only room to grow. So I leave it at that. All right, second item. Let's go. Next one is, so in the show notes, I put it standing on business. So someone I follow on Twitter, if I follow on Twitter, what are you then? I got followers and I have people I follow. So the people, yeah, someone I follow, Firestarter, right? They're a podcast, they're one of the inspirational podcasts for the black guy who tips. And they want the world to know that, yo, they were the ones who came up with Them Thrones. But that's not the point. The point is they posted something that I found interesting. It was a comment. It was a retweet. And the message goes, standing on business in quotation is the worst phrase to hit the black community. Are you ready for this? Since 99 and 2000. So the slang expression, standing on business, I had no idea is an old piece of slang. Been around for a long time. And Firestarter in the caption response, I agree, I'm already sick of it. I was shocked. But I'm not going to talk about the slang, but it just had me thinking about how growing up in Canada, specifically in Ottawa, in one of the whitest capital cities in, I mean, the black population is growing, but when I was growing up, I was the token black guy. Everywhere I went, it's like, all you can hear is my footsteps. Every room that I entered in, it went quiet. I'm exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating about the fact being the token black. Like, I'm in the demographic of black people who, when you look at their class pictures, yep, one of these things is not like the other. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, like the cameraman just still is not used to having black kids in his class. So he's like, fuck, I need another flash for this nigger. Anyway, yeah, so what I'm saying is I'm one of those black people. It's really obvious to know who I am in my class pictures because everyone else was white. White and with a sprinkle of Lebanese and Asia, usually Vietnam or one of the countries that France fucked up. But my point is, I'm used to being surrounded by white people culture and black people culture, to be more specific, black American culture. Because Haitian culture, I could have just gone to Montreal. But yeah, Montreal's 2 hours away from Ottawa. Yeah, but black American culture was foreign. And the way I was able to absorb, my teacher about black culture was rap music, was hip hop. That's where I got all the latest slang or what I thought. Well, technically, it wasn't latest because back then we had tapes and CDs and they had to import. It was considered imports. Let me put it this way. I remember when You Down With OPP was a hit in the summer in New York. Everyone in their car was bumping that track. Then I get to Ottawa, come back to Ottawa, and it was the summer, right? And sometime in February, DJ's like, new shit, You Down With OPP. Yeah, you. And I was like, what the fuck? Okay, I'm not going to be that mean. It was probably in November. But my point is, hip hop was like my teacher when it came to black culture. You know, I'll go a step further. I'm agreeing with Chuck D, who used to say that hip hop was like black people's CNN. It was indeed. Holy shit. I remember, I think, did Tupac have a track about the riots? And it was like, so that's what it was like to be in the riots. Oh, Tupac, Ice Cube. Gorilla in the Mist. No. Is that what they were called? Lynch Mob. Sorry, the Lynch Mob. They had a song called Gorilla in the Mist. In the Mist. But all this to say, hip-hop was like my connection to black American culture. Then podcasting happened. Because hip-hop started to die. It was getting ridiculous. I was like feeling less and less connected. I mean, sure, the blackness was in there, but fuck, every rapper was talking about selling drugs and talking about shit that I can't relate to. I mean, I still bob my head to, right? But I was starting to feel disconnected, and then podcasting happened. The internet happened. Social media, but podcasting. And this is where I got to give credit to or shout out to the Blackout Hotels podcast, because in a way, they ended up replacing that void. The podcast alone, I'm talking about early days of podcasting. I think they were the first black podcast that I subscribed to religiously. And they ended up with their podcast filling that void. But it was interesting because hip hop, I remember, there was a time where, because I was, again, miseducation to be black, I'm getting all my education about black American culture from hip-hop, and at the beginning, hip-hop was all based out of New York. There was a time, New York, right? There was a time where I thought that every black person in the United States spoke, talk, act like New Yorkers. All their slang. Boy, was I ever wrong when I moved to the States and spent some time in the Bay Area, and I'm like, oh, you guys aren't like New Yorkers, you're a lot different. This culture, you guys are more laid back. Hey, cuz. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, I can't do the accent. My apologies. I don't want no smoke from anyone from the Bay Area. But they do say A a lot at the beginning of the sentence. Yeah, whatever. But oh my God, I'm getting distracted. So it was interesting when once I discovered the black guy who tips, and they're from the South, Charlottesville, North Carolina. I won't lie. There's an episode where after Fife Dog died, and Rod, one of the hosts, he speaks about heartfelt how it moved them and everything like that. And my ignorant ass is like, but you're from the South. South niggas listen to South music. You know, I mean, yeah, no. Look, I didn't write him in to say that shit. But I remember in my mind going, oh, that's right. They're not a monolith. Okay, I think the only point I'm getting at is how my connection to black American culture. By the way, when I start the show and say this episode is protected by the red, the black, and the green, it's my way of acknowledging my connection to black, to the red, the black, the green, black American culture, while also acknowledging the fact that I'm from here. I'm a black Canadian. Because I was heavily influenced by black American culture. Why don't you get your own culture? Because, again, surrounded by white people. That was my education into blackness. My parents, they were more religious. They valued religion over culture. And it was interesting. They didn't, to them, the concept of culture was like, whatever. What you need in your life is Jesus. Yeah, white Jesus. Not anything. Well, anyways. You know, I guess I'm grateful. I'm not complaining. I'm acknowledging an aspect about my life that's probably different from some of you. And and it's just that Firestarter post just had sent me through memory lane about how I grew up, and there was a void. Like I didn't have a culture. Then I discovered hip hop, and hip hop was like the older brother going, yep, let me show you the ways. Hip hop was to me what Jay-Z would say the streets were to him. what's the line? I didn't have no pop. Thank God I had the block. Yeah. Yeah, for me it's thank God for hip hop. All right. Okay. So speaking of hip hop, next item. there's a news that came out. In the show notes, I put a link to a think piece by Candace McDuffie. And the title goes, Snoop Dogg is now singing Donald Trump's praises, but why? All right, spoiler alert. So apparently Donald Trump pardoned some guy named Michael Harris. Okay. Sorry, I missed the part that he was a co-founder of Death Row. I thought he was just some random nigga who worked at Death Row. Yeah, okay, no, he was a co-founder of Death Row. See, that's interesting. I thought Dre was the co-founder of Death Row, but whatever. Michael Harris, co-founder of Death Row. Oh, infamously for drug trafficking operation was pardoned. Yeah, no, I get it. So apparently, there's a lot of thugs, street folks from the streets who are grateful to Donald Trump because he pardoned their homies. I'm sure he wanted something in return. Zip. But that's another story. Quid pro quo. But you know what? It's irrelevant. Whatever. You know. A part of me is still on that fuck Snoop. But what are you gonna do? I think a lot of this shit is more publicity. Because it was a doesn't matter. The story came out that Snoop, he's not endorsing him, but he was speaking highly of Donald Trump. And I hate, this is like the second time, what's her name of that artist? I forget, something red. I forget her name, but she was like, yeah, the streets like Donald Trump. And I will not deny, growing up in the 90s, Donald Trump was considered a cool guy, an aspiration, because he was the rich guy. He got the girl. I got to remind you, 90s, being a toxic male was the in thing. Using words like toxic masculinity, well, at least to someone like me, I was unenlightened, and saying shit like that would be like, what the fuck, lady? There's no such thing as toxic masculinity. Well, if we're toxic, then you're toxic, you know. But back then, Trump was the epitome of a toxic male, and he was an inspiration to all of us, especially in a culture as misogynistic as hip hop. So I remember the days when Trump was a hero. Then he gets caught saying the N-word. Okay, no, he doesn't get caught saying the N-word, but then he runs for the Republican Party, starts talking shit about Mexicans, and it makes you like, oh, damn. And you know what's interesting is how the Snoop Dogs of the world in the black culture, it gives me a sign that they don't really give a fuck about community. Fuck a community. I'm trying to fatten my pockets. It doesn't surprise me that the Snoop Dogs of the world would be like, yo, I'm down with Trump. Because like I said, we saw him as a, when shit didn't matter, when I was unenlightened, when I could be persuaded to join, no, when I didn't give a fuck about any cause except being black, Trump was cool. But now that I'm more conscious of politics, I'm like, yo, he's bad for business. Anyway, I think my only point to this, first point is, I'm not surprised. Again, wouldn't be surprised if this is all a publicity stunt. Or Snoop just really doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't, look, man, I'm just, my only devotion, my only commitment to this life is keeping my pockets fat. It's staying relevant. But yeah, whatever. I don't have much thoughts to say. See, what adds to this, right, it just had me thinking, is how the Breakfast Club, okay, the link to the article won't be in the show notes. You can Google it for yourself. But Breakfast Club had Nikki Haley on their show. They interviewed her. In other words, they made her relevant. And it fucked with me. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what it was? I felt let down by hip hop. The same hip hop that connected me to my blackness, and I was like, it's like, hey, Trump is dope. Hey, let's hear from Nikki Haley. We gotta hear both sides of the story. Both sides of the story. Nikki Haley is the brown lady. I'm not sure she was born. I think she was born in the United States, and her parents are from South Asian country. I don't want to get it wrong, but I know it's a country in the South. It's a South Asian country. And you know, she's a runner-up to be the Republican representative. I forget what the terms are, but she was on the same brown lady who was like, yeah, there was no racism in America. That lady. Sucking up to, basically trying to use white supremacy to her advantage. And they had her on the Breakfast Club. So it bothered me. But after I snapped out of it, I'm trying to, there's a part of my brain that tries to rationalize the unrationable. Like, I'm thinking, Snoop, whatever, has his reasons. I don't like it. I don't agree with him. Fuck Snoop. I'm sure I'll still bump dog pound. What's doggy style? But I'm less of a fan of the guy. I'm still grateful that he put on a dope-ass concert in Ottawa, but, you know, I'm no longer a fan of the guy. I'm less of a fan of the guy. But Breakfast Club having him on, maybe I'm considering the possibility, maybe their target audience, because I know they have people who get paid to do all kinds of research on who listens to our radio station. And I won't be surprised if majority of their audience don't vote. They don't really care. They might talk politics. They might say, yeah, what has voting gotten for us? You know, they might jump into the, but they're not really that serious. Yeah, I think their target audience is just motherfuckers who don't vote, or hence why they can afford to experiment. Because I'm like, how far are they from, hey, let's get a member of the Proud Boys to, you know, we got to get both sides. Let's hear Proud Boys on the station to hear them out. I mean, if it helps them spell ad space, don't do it. They'll fucking do it. They'll fucking do it. But yeah, anyway, you know what? I'm not going to speak more on this because I haven't heard the show. So, but I am disappointed that the state of hip-hop. But then again, I'm old, and maybe I'm just living in a world that's just, oh, wow, what a contradiction. Sorry, I'm laughing because Final Thought is going to touch on this notion, but I'm feeling old. I'm feeling like I'm getting older, and this, these people who sell ads, like I'm, the people who sell ads on Much Music, is Much Music still around? Who target kids, like they're not thinking of me, my 48-year-old ass. I'm like, I'm being targeted by Viagra, life insurance. hey, you ready to make your will? Depends. You know, that's who's knocking on my door, but it's just, yeah. Breakfast Club don't give a fuck about me. Anyway, yeah. Or whoever controls the machine that controls hip-hop. Yeah, they're not targeting me. It's like, yeah, they know what I want to hear, that gangsta shit, unless it's people like Benny the Butcher. All right, not a long story. All right, okay, next item. Hey, so shout out to the Netflix algorithm for advertising Griselda. There's a new TV series called Griselda, and it turns out, I mean, it is, I saw the first two episodes, and it's about the story of Griselda Blanco, who was a notorious drug dealer, and she was a woman, and I'm gonna say this, man, so again, watch the first two series, and I'll say this, I hate it and love it. Let's start with hate it. Hate it because I feel like they're changing. This is like, and this is a Netflix thing. When they make shows, I feel like they have a whole bunch of people who do market research, and those motherfuckers control the script. Like, it's not just enough to, like, have product placement. It's like, yo, we need this demographic of people to like this show. So we need you to adjust this. It feels a little, yeah, it feels like a fairy tale, all right? It's like, okay, oh, she was a drug dealer. Oh, my God. And the challenge she faced, and she overcame. You know what it is? Okay, I've seen the show Made It in America. I really enjoyed it, right? And Made in America is about two dudes trying to make it into the clothing business. And every episode is them getting a step forward into that. And like every episode starts with a challenge and then and ends with they overcome that challenge, and every win gets them closer to their dream of being top dogs in the clothing business. Well, Griselda feels like this shit. It's like and but the thing is, I guess what I'm getting at is I don't know, from the watching, I grew up on watching The Wire, Jay-Z lyrics, when he talks about the drug game. It's not, see, I'll tell you what, Griselda reminds me a lot of, like, Power, Empire. It's a show that I fucking hate. I hate the story. I hate the decisions that were made in the writing, or the writing sucks, but I'm still gonna watch it, because they sparked a curiosity, because I am curious to see how she went from zero to the hero. Well, not a hero, to the drug kingpin. Well, the one clever thing they did is at the beginning of the show is they put a quote by Pablo Escobar saying shit like, and I'm not sure if this quote is accurate, is true, but he said some shit like, yo, I fear no man, but I do fear that chick Griselda. I didn't know she was a badass, but apparently, I mean, I don't know a lot about this lady, but the one thing I do know about it, about this woman, is that Benny the Butcher used her name for the record of his record label. I'm assuming it's his. I mean, he's part of the record label, but if you listen to Benny the Butcher music, he always says Griselda, Griselda. Well, that's his bad boy. That's like saying bad boys. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. So I hate it, but I'm gonna watch to the end. The part that I like, I won't lie. What's her name? Sofia Vergara? Vergara? Am I pronouncing her name right? Let me make sure I'm not. Her name is. Yeah, hey, good for me. I have the link printed up. The Sofia Vergara. Oh, she's a producer too. Oh, good for her. She's. I won't lie, man. I like her playing this role. I like her being this badass woman. They just show clips of her. Okay, I love the clips of her just being tough, being a badass. Actually, I'm actually a fan of female characters being a badass. I'm used to seeing, you know, being a, and she's smarter about her tactics. But I am annoyed at in the first episode, spoiler alert, the first episode, they go, how they try to show that she was ambitious, like she was determined to make it. It was fucking corny. I'm going to sell this dope until you're tired of me. You know, saying shit like that. Like, whatever. Again, man, I don't think I was, when they designed this show, I was meant to be the target audience, the main target audience. But anyways, it ain't no narco. But, okay, but what does save this show is Sofia Vergara's acting. I will give it that. Yeah, someone on, it's funny, someone I follow on Twitter commented on her acting and how she's doing a good job. And what's funny is how I read that tweet right after I tweeted about how, I said something like, I'm no historian, but I don't think the story of Griselda Blanco was meant to be an inspirational tale. An inspirational fairy tale. Something tells me that her real life story wasn't that, I mean, fun to hear. Like, there's a lot of heartbreak. I'm sure she, you know, I'm not going to speculate. I'm sure she did what she needed to do to get to where she wanted to be. And I get the feeling that there's a lot of those details were omitted because to an actual crowd, it would have fucked us up. Like, what do you mean you threatened to put a baby in a microwave? Holy shit. I don't know if that's true, but I do know this drug game is not meant to be glorified. That's what I'm trying to say. Say your story, but I don't, yeah, it's kind of like war. Kind of exactly like war. Like, those stories, shout out to Dan Carling. And yeah, I know, he says, yo, shit, war is, by the time you're done with an episode of his podcast related to World War One or Two, you get the idea that, yo, war is not fucking fun, man. It's not the best we can do. If you want to support our troops, let's fucking avoid wars. And if we do have to send them in harm's way, then, yo, give these people everything they need to do. Yo, no wars is ideal. But if we have to go to war, fuck. I want to say let's keep it civilized, but no, that's not true. The reality is, if we have to go to war, fuck, let it end as quickly as possible. And let it be the good guys. And by good guys, anyone that allows me to live the lifestyle that I'm living now. No. I don't know what I want in a war. I don't want war. I don't want war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. All right, okay. All right, so yeah, Griselda. Hate it and love it. This is both a recommendation and don't bother. All right, okay. Another thing on the agenda. Okay, this one is meant to be comedy. This one could have easily gone into the other links section, but I felt it made me laugh. And the post goes, oh shit, I got this from Thread. Dion Cole, the comedian Dion Cole. And the article, the headline goes, meet the female pastor who sleeps with her members to heal them, claims God anointed her vagina. Pastor Mrs. Veronica claims her vagina is anointed for healing infertility in men. Where do I sign? Okay, what makes me laugh about this article is because I used to, for those of you who don't know, I'm a preacher's kid gone bad. So some preacher's kids have kids out of wedlock. Me, no, I get on my podcast and talk shit about the church. I'm bitter. I left the church. I have a church left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm just angry at the church. And I talk shit about it every chance I get. And I also look for opportunities to ridicule the church if I can. And I remember I had this bit that I didn't fully develop about how if I was a pastor, I would, I'm trying to remember. I think there was an article about some Brazilian pastor who convinced his congregation that his semen had holy milk or some shit like that. And I was like, fuck, if I was that pastor, first thing I'd do is cut the internet. Don't fucking... Yes, I talked about how if I was a pastor, I would sexually assault women without their, well, because they don't know. Yeah, they don't know their consent. I would take advantage of their ignorance to have sex with women. That was the joke. And when I say it like that, yeah, it doesn't sound that funny. Anyways, I say this shit because reading this article makes me laugh. Like, who is this woman and why is she stealing my jokes? But I guess the thing is, the punchline is like the naivety or the oh, no, okay. I don't like blaming naive Christians. Oh, it is what it is. It is what it is. Like, who's worse, the naive Christian or the pastor who takes advantage of their... I guess it would be the pastor. Yeah, you're a piece of shit. Come on, you're a man of God taking advantage of their ignorance. But anyways, you know what? Sharing this story was just meant to be funny and share how, yeah, I had a... It makes me laugh, but... I mean, yeah, it's funnier that it's a woman sleeping with men to fix their infertility. I mean... I'm trying to imagine a man feeling like, wait a minute, we had sex for nothing? Your vagina doesn't have healing power, bitch? Like, I feel less sorry for those men than I do for the women who were taken advantage of by their pastor. Damn, I'm talking too much, man. This is, I'm starting to bum myself out the more I think about this story. All right, okay, last item on news and random thoughts. If you notice, thoughts and your news are all gobbled up together. I just got distracted by an article. It's Ben Shapiro's new song hit number one on iTunes. How did that happen? You know, I'm not going to read that. Fuck that. Him and some white boy from Calgary who, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Okay, I just got distracted. Okay, the reason I saw this, because I have an article. It goes, the Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion feud explained by Washington Post. I am no fucking way going to read that story. But I am going to give you the evolution of how I went from, man, fuck this story. Fuck this beef. I don't care. I mean, sure, Megan Thee Stallion's track was dope. And yes, Nicki Minaj's response, I enjoyed, even though it was like, it wasn't like at the standard of Megan Thee Stallion. You know, it's just hip hop. But initially I was trying to get myself to not give a fuck. But it killed me that quote-unquote respectable publication like Washington Post, New York Post, all of them have a story covering, oh my God, fuck what's going on in the Middle East. Megan Thee Stallion is beefing with Nicki Minaj. But that's a sign of the time. This is just a sign that, yeah, I'm the one getting old. Things are different. Like, in the time I grew up, you would never see, you know, two niggers in rapping are going at it. That would never be a fucking headline. But times have changed. Everyone has a serious article explaining the feud between the two. If you ask me, I think it's just to distract us from what's going on in the Middle East. Yeah, they're tired. All you people, all you pro-Palestinian protesters out there, this is their way of being like, yo, cut it out. Holy fuck. You're making Israel mad against us. Anyway, where I'm going with this is I initially was not going to give a fuck about this. But then, as I'm scrolling through my timeline, Fantastic Freddy weighs in on it. But, okay, I'm not going to play the clip. It's in the show notes. You can play it for yourself. But essentially, she weighed in on the fact that She weighed in on the fact that Nicki Minaj's response was misogynistic and talked about how, you know, sometimes the worst enemy to other women are women. And I agree with that because in her track. Yeah, but okay. Part of me was trying to be like hip hop. It's meant to be cruel. People say the same shit. I don't like participating in there, right? But Fantastic Freddy, Frankie, oh my God, I see Freddy, I meant Frankie. My apologies. Fantastic Frankie weighed in, and it was an interesting, insightful take. And no, she's right. Nicki Minaj's response was like some, yeah, you lied about being shot in your feet, about being shot. basically, yeah, fellas, you better like me. Whatever, man. It was some foul shit. This is like worse than, in my opinion, it's worse than Jay-Z's Don't You Know I'm Your Baby Mama's Favorite Rapper. Shit like, yeah. But people will tell you that's hip-hop. You know, I miss the days of teeth need lotion. oh my God, skin need lotion. Teeth need Colgate. Sorry, that was LL talking to Komodi, I think. Then again, Tupac did say some shit. You know, it's as if every rap beef, they have to raise the bar on to make you go, wow, what the fuck? Yeah, like, wow. I think it's only a matter of time before a rapper is like going to see another rapper's therapist at gunpoint and say, yo, I need you to write down everything that fucks with them because I'm going to put it in a rap song. I can't. Okay, you see this gun? There's 6 bullets in them. One's about to go in your body or whatever. You know, it's whatever. People are going to say it's hip hop. For me, I don't agree with it. But I do agree with Fantastic Frankie's take about her being misogynistic. Again, not enough to persuade me. Then Ill Doctrine weighs in, and he made an interesting take, and you should watch the clip for yourself because it's way more clever than I'm about to explain it. But essentially, he made a comparison to how Nicki Minaj is using the same tactics Trump uses on his foes, on the people he doesn't like. It's like, and which opened my eyes to, okay, so what you're telling me is, if I'm ever on Bumble, God forbid, and I get paired with a woman who says some shit like, yeah, Nicki Minaj is my favorite rapper, red flag. But basically, the comparison he made, yeah, apparently Nicki Minaj's core fans have been really mean about this shit, about anyone on anyone who's they believe is against Nicki Minaj. Shit, they might listen to, I doubt it. But part of me was like, maybe I shouldn't talk shit about Nicki Minaj. But the idea of incurring the wrath of Nicki Minaj's fans. See, it's one thing to be like, hey, I support my artists. It's another thing to do shit like, I'm going to publicize your home address because I'm angry at you. I'm going to fuck you up if I see you in this. Like, they'll fight you over this shit. I mean, that's a sign that, yeah, your fans are toxic, therefore, you're toxic. So, Ill Doctrine's take opened my eyes to, be careful about Nicki Minaj's fan. But the real take that really brought me over the edge was by the Eric Lewis, okay, another content creator I follow on Instagram, and he's the wrong one. Apparently, one of Nicki Minaj's fans came at him because he said something unflattering about Nicki Minaj's fan, and this motherfucker doxed him, basically made his home address public. And in a calm, cool, collective post, man, you know what? I am gonna play this one. I'll play it just for this one because I think this one deserves attention. He goes, sorry, we're having trouble playing this video. Oh, shit. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I won't be able to play it. Here we go. I'll play it. This one deserves attention. Come on, refresh button. Let's go.
Funnily enough, today's the birthday of the person who doxed and leaked my private and personal information onto the internet this past weekend in response to my criticisms of Nicki Minaj. Now, what's actually a little bit funny is, you happened to dox me the night of my younger brother's birthday. Mm. You leaked my phone number, a former address me and my family used to reside in. Now, I'm sure many of y'all are wondering, oh my God, Eric, why didn't you bring attention to this when it first happened? Well, one, I didn't see it fit to boost or amplify.
Oh my God, what's going on? Instagram broken? Is Instagram broken? What the fuck is going on? Sorry, we're having problems playing this video. Oh, shit. That is embarrassing. I can't view or play videos on Facebook. check my internet connection. Update your browser, restart your... Okay, whatever. I can't play the whole thing. Links will be in the show notes. Hopefully, I'll cooperate when you click on the link. But long story short, Rick Lewis talks about how someone doxed him, and then he let that person know that, yo, I know your information. I know something about you, too. I know where you live. Yo, he said, yo, birthday, talked about, look, I'm giving you 24 hours to apologize or else. Apologize and take down your site. Or else, this he ain't playing. Or else. And the parts that I remember is, I'm going to put out your address. And I know you're in nursing school. I'm going to let your school know the bullshit that you're doing. And trust me, they're not going to like that kind of shit as a nurse. I'm going to go after your nursing, your career. And motherfucker, I'm going to sue you. I love how he ends it. He says, yo, and tell your grandma, blah, 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 I said hi. He ain't playing. Anyways, all this to say that shit's getting real out there. I did not know that Nicki Minaj's fans are a group of terrorists. Now, to go back to Megan Thee Stallion, I'm still not clear why she went after Nicki Minaj in the first place. Maybe it's part of the, from what I can, I don't have the details, but based on this track, it kind of sounds like it's, well, here's the thing. She didn't name people directly, but she did say it was a middle finger to anyone who would happen to be a registered sex offender, anyone guilty of being or accused of being a sex offender. Now, she could have been talking about Puff, Harvey Weinstein, but Nicki Minaj said, hey, motherfucker, and whatever. Remember, I started out not giving a fuck, not caring. So I'm not clear on the details. All I know is the fight's getting ugly. The one thing I can tell you is, if it comes down to me having to pick a side, if I have to pick a side, all right, based on what I know so far, I'm going with the woman who right now is grieving her dead brother over the woman who's dating a motherfucker who's a registered sex offender. Now, I don't know how that relationship works, right? I don't know how, God forbid, I was a registered sex offender, I wouldn't want my girl to fight my battles. I would be humble about that shit. I would stay out of the limelight because you expose the world is going to remind you that you're a registered sex offender. That's what my point. It's constantly going to put it in your face. And if you are not at peace with that shit, then yeah, you don't want to be in public doing that shit. Anyway, whatever. To me, it sounds like Megan Thee Stallion made a clever rhyme using... I had to Google Megan Law to see what that was about. There's a kind of a sadness to it because the parents of the child who Megan Law came from, like they're seeing their child's name trending. Luckily, they found out it was a rap song, and it's not like, oh wait, what? There's been progression on this case, or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe it's positive. You know, because sometimes when things are trending, sometimes you know it could be good or it could be bad. And oh my God, Megan Law. Oh, whatever. These two niggas are going at it. Whatever. Sorry, getting back. Megan Thee Stallion made a clever rhyme, clever line involving the term Megan Law, and Nicki Minaj went all out. Talking about, fuck you and your dead grandma, you got a big feet, you got shot in the foot, but you're lying about being shot in the foot, and whatever. And it's kind of ugly. I'm not entertained, but I'm also a person who doesn't like, who's not a fan of battle rap. I'm not saying they're not art, they don't deserve to be an art form. I'm saying it's not something you'll catch me. Like, for me, the last beef that got my attention was Jay-Z and Nas. Why? Because it ended with these two shaking hands over it. It was a beautiful moment in hip hop, in my opinion. But after this, it's just, yeah, I don't feel like I'm the target audience for this. Yo, shit, I might start listening to country. I'm lying, but I'm going to start listening to gospel music. Okay, I am listening to gospel music, but my taste in music has changed. I wish I could enjoy jazz like everyone else, because hip-hop ain't doing it for me. All right, yeah, and this is a story about how I went from not giving a fuck about those two beef to being like, I think I'm going to have to pick a side on this one. Yeah, the last point is how easily influenced, how I went from not caring, but as soon as two people, first it started with Fantastic Frankie and Ill Doctrine, as soon as they weighed in, as soon as people whose opinion I usually respect, start to talk about it, then all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, maybe I need to give a fuck about the price of egg in China. I'm fascinated at myself how I went from not caring and just two people making content on the internet. I'm like, oh, okay, now I have an opinion. And here we are. All right, okay, this concludes news and random thoughts. We are now going to jump into final thoughts and conclude the show, all right? Okay, hope you are enjoying yourself so far, because we're about to bring this one home, all right? Okay, let's go. All right. That sounded low then. I am so disappointed okay. Let's just get to my final thoughts. Okay. Because I'm hungry. You know what I'm going to do? I want to make myself some chicken. Who doesn't like chicken? All right. Okay. Final thoughts. So in the last episode, I forgot to say what's up with the title of this song. But okay. I'm not going to make that same mistake this time. But before I start with today's final thoughts, first two things. The title, for you Anglophones, again, Le Verbe Être, if you didn't go through Google Translate, the title of today's episode is French for, and if I translate it in English, it's the verb to be. And I want to talk about being. And before I continue, I want to dedicate this final thoughts, or this episode, to everyone who's gone through life feeling like the world keeps been telling you, you don't belong here. You weren't meant to be. Like, the world managed to convince you that you ain't shit. You were here by mistake. All those people... just not you pedophiles. Yeah, pedophile, fuck that. I'm not talking about you guys. No, fuck that. Seek some help. I was worried I was going to say that, and then I was going to get a brochure from NAMBLA saying, oh, let us tell us about our organization. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. No. If I'm talking to people who their existence, their attempt to happiness is shut down, people whose existence, they don't hurt anyone. Whether you're queer, black, or not white, disabled, whatever. You've gone through life, and the world had you convinced that you don't belong here, and you had to fight your way to be like your existence is defiance. You had to fight your way to be like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm standing here. I'm standing on business. All right, chive turkey, take that. All right. standing strong. And you know who you are. I think a lot of the podcasts, some of the podcasts I started listening to, it's people who are like, yo, this is my story of defiance. So that's where I was going with when I said Le Verbe Être. It reminded me of a conversation that I wish I could have had with my mom, or I had it in my head, in my mind. And to my mom, she thinks that I'm going through some things, but the reality is I'm just trying to be me. And the problem is I haven't figured out how to be the version of me I want to be with her. You know, it's kind of, it's complicated. Yeah, if you're going to have kids, you know, let them grow, help them, provide space for them. Like, if you're, there's parents out there, it's like, yeah, I'm having kids so they can grow up to be everything that I wasn't able to be. To get married, to continue, like, who'd say shit like, I'm having kids so they can continue their family name. Yeah, that's some selfish shit. That's not a reason to have kids. I'm out to have kids so I have someone to pass my inheritance to. Nah, or to continue the family business. Nah, that's not how it works. You got to allow your kids to what? Be. Le verbe être. Oh, the reason I say it in French is because when I speak to my parents, I speak to them in French. And yeah, I know. It's sometimes I feel like saying, the message I was trying to get across is you have a problem with that verb. Not for yourself, but for me, for your children. I say my mom, but my parents, actually. That's where the title comes from. The poetry that I recited comes from, when I thought of the title, Le Verbe Être, it made me think of Common, who had an album called Be. And if he had a song about being, I would have recited, but instead, in his intro, he had that one verse, that memorable verse that I recited at the beginning, and then in the outro, he's got that a portion. I just recited my favorite portion at the beginning. And that's what's up with the title. You know, the other option is I nearly called it To Be or Not To Be, but but A, I felt corny, and B, back in my hip-hop, high school hip-hop days, I had a song called To Be or Not To Be, and it sucked. Da-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na. That's why I was playing on the keyboard. Da-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na. And then the chorus would be, to be or not to be, to be or not to be. And the rap verse was like, you know, I'm the super fly. I'm the super thatcher. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, like the old school kind of rapper. Yeah. Anyways, it was. I'm glad I went with. And also, me being is a reminder that my first language is French. And English is my second language. I grew up with a lot of English kids who would, like, in their attempt to, English kids who were like, yo, Frenchie, keep that French shit out of here. And they would diss you for having an accent or for not knowing words that everyone knew or not having their vocabulary. And it's not the fact that they would diss you. It was more the fact that I would internalize that shit and be like, fuck, why can't my vocabulary get better? Fuck, why did I miss that word? Oh, man, I should have known. You can't, English, you don't say close the light in English. Damn, I feel so stupid. And not giving myself patience to be like, hey, asshole, you speak two fucking languages. Tell him to go fuck himself in French. Then kick his ass. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, man, this shit is symbolic as a motherfucker. And that's why it's called, that's the title of today's episode. But that's not what I'm trying to get at. What inspired today's title was my last therapy session. Yo, that motherfucker was in the moment, I'm like, damn, this lady is earning, therapist. She's earning her money. She was like dropping gems. But made me realize something. It's only after that I'm like, I left that. As I'm driving home, I remember feeling like, kind of like that feeling after a breakup or after, like, I was feeling like a little down. As music was playing in the background, I was like, allowed it to heal me. But I was feeling a little hurt. And I'm realizing, because what's funny is when I initially drove to therapy, I remember going, yeah, maybe I'm done with therapy. I don't think I need it anymore. I don't see where it could go. And I remember telling her, starting the session with, yo, I think we're at the portion of therapy where we've done all the easy stuff and now we're at the hard part. What's amazing, it's like, fuck. It's like I read her mind. And throughout the therapy session, she made me realize that, yeah, man. She made me realize that, or reminded me of how much I love theory over practice. I love learning about not E equals, Y equals MX plus B. I love doing the calculation and all that shit. The hard part is, basically, you know what last session felt like? It's like, okay, wax on, we've done the wax on, wax off. Now I want you to go out there and kick, go beat up, find the biggest guy out there and kick their ass. And I'm like, oh, wait, whoa. Can we practice the wax on? Because I'm not sure I got it down packed yet. But in this case, the bully I'm going after is the real self. See, the thing is, what am I? I'm at episode 144, and I had convinced myself that I was honored. I was doing great on my journey into self-acceptance, into getting to know the real me. But something made me realize, I remember, it's like, nah, man, there's a part of you, you still haven't discovered because of some kind of, something is stopping you. It could be fear. Like, I don't want to find out that, holy shit. It's the same fear that I have about crying. I'm worried that if I start crying, I won't be able to shut that thing off. Because there's a lot of, like, hurt inside me. There's a lot of, like, again, I've managed to go through life to overcome life's challenges as a highly sensitive person by pretending I'm not a highly sensitive person or convincing myself I'm not. But the truth is, it's like going through life and feeling like the cuts. It's like I'm constantly being stabbed by life or shivved by life. And I'm like, it doesn't hurt. And I'm worried the real self, it's like, nah, man, we're going to admit this pain. We're going to finally get ourselves to realize that this shit hurt. We're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see all the whiplashes on your back. I remember feeling like, I have this thing where I'm always hugging, like there's a pillow and I catch myself, I'm always hugging. That's how I know shit's as intense, because I'm hugging the pillow and I know that I'm in like, please, daddy, don't hit me no more. Kicking in the door, waving the 404. All you heard was, therapist, don't hit me no more. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, all this to say is, what's that line by Tupac? I've came a long way, but still I got a long to go. I got far to go. Crazy. Yeah. I am getting a hint of the self that I'm refusing to. I'm at this quest of getting to know the real self that's actually scaring me. That's actually uncomfortable. That's actually, I'm hesitant. Like, enough for me to be like, yeah, I'm done with therapy. Like, I'd rather be, like, enough for me to be angry at the Stephen Porges quote. But it is what it is. It is what it is. You know what is interesting, and I'm gonna end with this, right, is I haven't heard the episode, so Dr. John Paul from the Black Fat Fan podcast, they posted a clip of their recent episode. And there's a part where they talked about how, I'm paraphrasing and I'm going to fuck this up, but something about how welcoming, how free the queer community is. There's like, there's a certain, how the benefits of having access to the queer community, to the Black queer community. And what's amazing about them sharing that, by them I mean Dr. John Paul and, God damn it, their co-host, fuck that. There's no way I'm going to finish. Hold on. I'm blanking on the host of the Black Fat Fam podcast. My apologies, but there's no fucking way I'm hitting stop on this record without saying both hosts' name, and it's Black Fat Fam, Dr. John Paul, and as it's loading, I should have used the other computer, a little faster, and Jordan Daniels, oh my God, Joho Daniels, oh my God, my apologies. I Fuck it. You know, I'm going to play it. As it's loading. No, it's taking too long to load. Okay, I'm going to play it. Hold on a second. I'm going to play it. 48 seconds. Check this out.
And again, when you're in spaces where you don't feel safe, knowing that someone seeing you is you seeing them, and it makes you feel safer, like that for me is what's up. So like I kind of throwing it back, you know, you make a really good point to this idea that we genuinely have to literally stand on business. You got to stand on business, but you really do have to stand on the idea that being queer is a magical thing, and it just ain't nothing like it. If you have never been in a space with a lot of queer, specifically queer Black people, you're doing yourself a huge
thing. Girl, okay. You're not living.
You have not lived if you are not with us, honey.
Yes. Facts. Okay.
All right. That was a snippet from their latest episode. And the reason why it's a big deal is because that's exactly... Those words weren't used, but I remember the exchange... I was having with my therapist, and she said how basically it makes it sound like, hey man, you probably need a connection to the queer community. I'm a cis hetero male. Hetero male, right? I'm a cis hetero male. And this is I've accepted that. I think I'm confident about that part. The part my struggle is the binary aspect of men and women. So I may not feel the need to express myself wearing physically, where, you know, like with women's clothing, right? I'm really, this is me over the people pleaser in me is like fucking with me. It's like, don't say anything wrong, whatever. But I may not. So on the Black Five Femmes, they, when they express themselves physically, they'll wear women's clothing and things like that. You notice they refer to each other as girl and stuff like that. For me, I don't think it's to that extent. But I do have shit like traits about me that's considered feminine. Personality traits. Showing empathy. Being highly sensitive. I'm still figuring things out, but I'm realizing, and I think that's why there's like this great admiration that I have for these two, is there's something authentic about their existence. And that's what I'm going for. I'm still struggling with, there's parts of me that, the personality traits about me that's considered feminine. Oh, fuck, perfect example. I don't know if this is, well, by ultra masculinity standards, yes. If you're not watching the Super Bowl this weekend, then you're not a real man. If you're a woman watching the Super Bowl, you're only doing that to pick up, whatever. I was at work and someone talked about how they set a date for Monday, and I'm like, oh shit. And that's just because I'm a pop culture person, right? I'm like, oh, that's the day after Super Bowl. Everyone assumed that because I made that statement, everyone went into, oh, yeah, but who you going for? You got your bets for. Luckily, they didn't ask me who you're going for. They said, yeah, but you got. I established the image as a big Black guy. Yeah, he's going to be, I'm sure he's going to show up to work hungover. Eh? Right. You're going to be fucking them bitches, ain't you? And the part is, I was too scared to correct them. Like, they had the image of, okay, this Black guy is going to be watching. He's going to be spending his time watching the Super Bowl. Yo, if I watch the Super Bowl, it's to watch the halftime show. With the other chicks, you know what I mean? It's like that part. I'm still struggling with that. And I think part of it is likely because I don't know a lot of people in Ottawa, in the Black queer community. I know white queer community, like LGBTQ community. I know white people, but I have to go in the comedy community to do that, but not in the Black people aspect. Oh shit, that's right. Tomorrow is Black History Month. So anyways, I that was very powerful, what Dr. John Paul and Joho just shared. And yeah, and I put that, like, it was a heartfelt message. I put that in my reply. I said, yo, that right there is part of the value of your podcast. It's my, oh my God. Okay. Full circle here. It's my connection to, it's my open window to the Black queer community. I listen to these two and I'm inspired to, okay, come on, man. Just be you. Accept the parts of you. Fuck, you want to cry? The nigga just fucking cry. You know what I mean? It's like, you're scared, then you're scared. You know, there's a part of me that sometimes uses the F word as reference against myself. It's like, you want to cry? Go ahead, F word. I'm fighting that. That's my, and the thing is, to have my therapist, okay, actually, it's not just my therapist. I have a friend who, like, allows me to be the real me. And sometimes I get mad at her. I was like, yo, you're not just supposed to discourage these habits. I'm writing with my left hand, man. You should break it. You should smack me on the hand and force me to write with my right hands. You should punch me in my face every time I want to wear my glasses. Come on, man. Are you a real man or not? Take off those glasses. Just see. Sorry, where was I going? I forgot. Oh, right. Last point I was going to make is what I was thinking about the value of Black Fat Fam, and for me personally, is them just being who they are. That's what, sometimes I'm not paying attention to what they're saying. It's the energy. It's the authenticness. I grew up with a lot of, surrounded by a lot of hetero males, and I could tell you from experience, the average hetero male is full of shit. It's either they're hiding something. For the most part, most of the hetero males that I've, and you know, fucking take it as a diss as you want, but I felt like they were hiding something. Their whole persona was just a big smoke and mirror to hide their real authentic. So I don't want to be like that. Now, when I listen to the two hosts on Black Fat Femme, I'm hearing two souls being their authentic self. Like, I don't think that should, it's not an act. There's something real about their behavior, about how they express themselves that I'm not familiar with, but I kind of envy. And yeah, the last point I was just trying to make is realizing how on their podcast, the value of their podcast is them being themselves. And it made me think about maybe that's my value. Like, I kind of like, I'm a quirky person, but I go extra quirky on the podcast. And it's my way of saying, hey, I'm out here. Hello, is it me that you're looking for? While taking the risk of, oh my God, going back to that quote, trauma compromises our ability to engage with others and replacing patterns of connection with patterns of protection. I remember thinking about, well, yeah, protection for sure. Do you not know how hostile this world is? Fuck a connection. Yeah, I think protection over connection. And I think that's part of getting to know the real self is starting to put down your guards and start being more open to this, to the world. Like, I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah, right, white boy. I'm going to expose my world to this hostile. I see the world at a hostile place. I constantly need my guards up. The idea of me putting my guards up feels naive. But that's my journey. That's my journey. All right, boys and girls, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast 144, Le Verbe Être. Shout out to those of you who learned something new, Le Verbe Être. Three words in the English, in the French language. And yeah, I'm going to conclude here, stop here, and say thank you for listening. As always, I'm always open to feedback. This thing only works if I would like to call to action, encourage you to write in, to write me, right? You can find me on these Twitter streets on using the handle at BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast on TikTok. You know, reach me through at shutuppodcast.com, preferably. And on Instagram threads at Shut Up Podcast as well. But my real stomping ground, if you're really serious about finding me on the internet, please just go to shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time for the people in the back not paying attention, trying to pay their bills. Shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's up on the main page, or go to Google, Apple, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast except Spotify. You know what? That's another convincing argument that my therapist said. That's like, yeah, man, get your shit on Spotify. And I'm like, yeah, man, but what that shit they did with Joe Rogan, and I'm like, maybe that decision they made to keep Joe Rogan on is the reason why they're like the top dogs of podcasts. Like, I don't know what the fuck happened yesterday, the good old days. Apple was the place you needed to post your podcast for the world to see it. Now it's motherfucking Spotify. So yeah, maybe I just need to bite that bullet, swallow my pride, and not blood, swallow my pride and accept the fact that I'm going to be on the same platform as Joe Rogan. Not that I expect him to be, you know, to I was hanging on to a cause, but it is what it is. All right, I'm working on it, right? I'm trying to be, at some point, I'm going to be on Spotify. But for now, just go to every place but Spotify. And if I'm not on one of your favorite platforms, please let me know. As well, you know, again, shutuppodcast.com. All right, boys and girls, thank you for listening. As always, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.